The ease of the father, who takes leisurely evening strolls, the companionship of the son, whose yoke gives rest, the comfort of the spirit, who breathes new life in dead and weary bones, and the company of the saints who have found eternal life and joy in the rhythms of sacred time, be with you all. My name is Jay Jansen. It's good to be with you in this way. If this is the first time you're tuning in, so to speak, please listen to the introduction that follows. If you've already heard what I'm about to say on a previous occasion, feel free to skip ahead on your playback device. You can find the liturgy for entering Sabbath time at the 4-minute 30-second mark of this recording. At various points in our history, and in many places around the world, Christians have been unable to gather for public worship. In fact, Christians have frequently been required to function as house churches. Interestingly, one could make the case that the church has been the most transformative when Christians have met in homes. Part of that has to do with the portability of Christianity. Knowing, following, and becoming like Jesus involves habits and postures, behaviors that shape attitudes, and vice versa. Gathering for worship in homes and in larger meeting houses is just one of many routines that have fostered Christ-likeness. In fact, in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, we're told that the earliest Christians devoted themselves to four practices. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and the prayers. A practice that has been largely forgotten is Sabbath. The habit of resting on a regular basis has been woven into God's way of being with God's people from the very beginning. In the Hebrew Scriptures, the people of God are commanded by Yahweh to remember and observe Sabbath. God rested, so you rest. God freed you, so you rest. Early Christians observed the arrival of Sabbath with the setting sun every Friday night, existed in Sabbath time on Saturdays, and gathered for worship on Saturday evening or Sunday morning as the Lord's Day finale to the whole affair, every week. This command to stop, rest, and come back to real life is good news. Because Sabbath is one of God's strategies for helping us to experience the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, people who routinely observe Sabbath find themselves changed. So you might think pausing for a 24-hour deep breath would be easy. It isn't. Kara Root is the pastor of Lake Nokomis Presbyterian Church, and they observe Sabbath every other week. She notes that sometimes people spend their Sabbath day in a restless withdrawal from activity, or in a knock-down, drag-out battle to set aside the things that the voices in our heads say we should be doing. Nevertheless, keeping Sabbath, making the effort to rest, is worth it, because it reminds us who we are and whose we are. Sabbath reconnects us with God, with ourselves, with others, and with the world. In short, the practice of rest makes us more fully alive human beings in the image of the resurrected Son. There's much more that could be said about Sabbath, but that would be missing the point, which is to stop. So let me suggest that if you're hungry to know more about Sabbath, we've included a number of resources at the end of the liturgy that accompanies this recording and can be found at the same place on our website where you tuned in to this experience of Sabbath prayers. In particular, check out the links to the Lake Nokomis Presbyterian Church website and Kara Root's blog. We've borrowed heavily from them, and I'm especially grateful to Kara for the help she's offered. Now, with all that said, I invite you to keep Sabbath with me. Before we enter into sacred time with prayer, I have a few instructions and reminders. First, in an ideal situation, your time of Sabbath is beginning at sunset. That could be on Saturday or on any other day, but starting in the evening means you get to enjoy a 24-hour deep breath. If not, that's okay. There's some flexibility here. For example, if you have young children, you might begin and end Sabbath time at supper. For others, it could be that your Sabbath pause happens at 11:30 on a Sunday morning and lasts for just a few hours. That's fine, too. The purpose of Sabbath is not to follow rules so much, but to rest. In fact, the word rest provides a helpful acronym. R, to relax. E, to enjoy. S, to see. And T, to take your new insights and awareness into the rest of your days. Whether it's 24 hours or 2 hours, Sabbath is about rest. Second, I invite you to have two candles nearby. On one, you might want to write "observe," and on the other, "remember." Third, have a piece of paper and write the names of your household on it and the words "yes" and "no" under each of them. Or you can print off the next page in the accompanying liturgy if you like. Don't worry about filling it out yet. We'll do that later. Finally, plan to end your Sabbath rest at the end of day by using the liturgy available online. I'll now give you a few moments to pause your playback device and gather those things. Now that you're ready, let's begin with this call from Jesus. This opening Sabbath ritual, adapted from the liturgy created by Kara Root and Lake Nokomis Presbyterian Church, is based on the Jewish Shavat. Please pray these words with me. Lord Jesus, you are present to us in spirit, and you meet us here as we come together. We set aside our plans and open up our lives to be nurtured in sacred time. we wish to be drawn into the rest of God. By resting from our labors and worries, and delighting in that which gives us joy, we hope to be refreshed and renewed, to rediscover who we are and in whose image we are made, and so we remember the Sabbath. The first place the Sabbath command appears is in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 11. Here we are told to remember the Sabbath because, after God created, God rested. Sabbath is when we recollect who God is and who we are. We are reminded that we are made in the image of God. We rest because God rests. Take a moment to light the Remember candle. Let's continue praying. Lord Jesus, we know you and ourselves and others more fully as we come together. We lift up our hearts and open up our lives to recognize you in sacred time. We look with trust and gratitude to God. By resisting the rule of an anxious and fearful world and lingering in the wideness of your generosity and love, we hope to be reoriented and restored, to rediscover whose we are and in whom our life is found, and so we observe the Sabbath. The second directive regarding Sabbath appears in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 12 to 15. Here we are told to observe the Sabbath because God delivered God's people out of slavery in Egypt to freedom. Poor and rich, weak and strong, sick and healthy, old and young, all are equal in our identity as God's beloved children. Those things do not determine who we are. We do not belong to the things that enslave us in busyness, anxiousness, and competition. We belong to the God of abundance and justice who sets us free, and so we rest. Take a few moments to light the Observe candle. Now pray these words with me. God of creation and deliverance, Christ with us in life and death, Spirit of love, forgiveness, and hope, we meet you here, and you meet us here, as we rest together in sacred time. Sabbath is a time to step out of the mindset that your life is earned by what you accomplish, to resist the urge to measure your value based on your productivity. In the silence to follow, pause your playback device, grab the paper that you either printed off or that you wrote your names down on and the words yes and no, and take a few moments to consider these questions. What can I stop doing to remember I am free? What worry, task, belief, or practice do I feel owned by? What can I set aside so that I will recognize that I belong to God and not to anything else seeking to dictate my life? After a few moments, have each person name what it is they want to leave behind and let go of this day. You might say no to screens, or cooking dinner, or negative self-talk, or mowing the lawn. You might say no to whatever obligation that leaves you thinking, I should, or I ought. Be sure to write those hopes down. Now that you've taken a few moments to say goodbye to some things for the day, what would you like to say hello to? After all, Sabbath is a time set aside for things that give joy. In the silence to follow, pause your playback device and consider these questions. What would feed my soul? What will give me peace and fill me with delight? What do I long for today that connects me to God, myself, and others? Have each person name what it is they want to welcome in their lives this day. You might say yes to creativity, like baking, or you might say yes to sleeping in, or gardening, or playing a game of catch, or reading. If you need a sermon to look at, visit the links at the end of the accompanying liturgy. Jot down on your paper those things that will help you to remember that life is a gift to be received and enjoyed. Now that you've set aside some things so that you might receive new graces, I invite you to settle into the rest of Sabbath by praying these words with me. Our noisy day has now descended with the sun beyond our sight. In the silence of our praying place, we close the door upon the hectic joys and fears, the accomplishments and anguish of the week we have left behind. What was but moments ago the substance of our life has become memory. What we did must now be woven into what we are. On this day we shall not do, but be. What a beautiful relief, dear God, to sit quietly in my own living room, soaking up the luxury of no demanding voices, no radio or television, no shouts from the bathroom, just these few marvelous moments to kick off my shoes, shed my confusion, and reclaim myself. These few marvelous moments to respond to your persistent plea. Today, O Lord, I say yes to you, to life, to all that is true and good and beautiful. Amen.
Shadow.